Seems like everybody's got a price. I wonder how they sleep at night. When the sale comes first and the truth comes second, just stop for a minute and smile. Why is everybody so serious? Acting so damn mysterious? Got your shades on your eyes and your heels so high that you can't even have a good time. Everybody, look to their left. Everybody, look to their right. Can you feel that? Yeah? We're paying with love tonight. It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money. We just want to make the world dance. Forget about the price tag.
Good evening. As I look at the clock right now, there is 1 hour and 45 minutes left of the transfer window from summer 2013. Yes, it's autumn tomorrow. Everyone will be about the business of just going for the hard slog, but for now on, it's still 1¾ hours left of people just getting those final last minute bids in and last minute transfer requests. We're all sat here looking at the TV screen. The sublime Natalie Sawyer, the ridiculous Jim White, with the sound down, obviously. It's the only way to watch it. And of course, as always on Transfer Deadline Night, nothing is actually happening.
That's not true.
It's gone quite good commercials there. I'd never seen that one before.
Yeah.
Natalie's dress is wonderful.
Yeah, she's very, very, very yellow, isn't she?
She is very yellow. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though,
not everyone can carry off yellow.
Anyway, how have you found transfer deadline day so far? I mean, like, obviously, like, you know, Twitter's been you know, Twitter, isn't it?
Twitter is this sort of the mixture of people breaking stories, spotting people in car parks, and then complaining about other people breaking stories and spotting people in car parks. So there's a sort of the nice mix of people who are really, really into it, and then the sort of, I don't know, this kind of Generation Xers who sort of, you know, think that the whole thing is just a load of old bollocks. But at the same time are actually probably enjoying it for that as well. That's what unites, what Transfer Deadline Day does. It unites everybody, irrespective of whether you're a hopeless optimist or a grizzled cynic. You just love Transfer Deadline Day because it gives you an opportunity to get really excited while at the same time being really, really miserable and gripey about the state of the modern game.
Yes, it's been a great day for Amphers, isn't it?
Well, it's been a great day for some Amphers. Other Amphers have been very, very quiet. The ones that tend, you know, maybe don't see the humour in or they think it's all terribly serious or far too serious. Probably they've all, you know, they've all taken the day off.
Probably.
I was surprised by the amount of not news tweets that were going out, which was a real pain in the arse because I was looking to see who some of them were buying or selling, and it was just full of them signing famous Newcastle players, and which was obviously never going to happen. So I've found it a bit misleading so far today, actually.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed because I used two car parks today and I didn't see any footballers at all.
No.
Did you
see any Sky Sports journalists hanging, ligging around?
Oh, I'm sure I saw about at least half a dozen in the Sainsbury's car park itself.
Did you really?
Yeah, and there was another one at the station car park at Whyteleafe as well.
Right.
I'm pretty certain.
Were they hoping someone might give them some takeaway food because they're in for a long night?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they were asking for spare change. I mean, it's rather odd arrangement, isn't it? Because I don't know if international listeners, I mean, I don't know how widespread they can get Sky Sports News, or if they even bother trying.
I've been reading tweets from Americans who have been watching Sky Sports News on various websites that allow for such things, not necessarily.
I mean, they can't have any. Is there anything equivalent to this? I mean, is their famous draft night?
I would imagine that the closest thing would probably be the NFL draft.
Yeah.
But that's more of a ceremony, really.
Mm.
And
how does the draft work? Well, because I've only ever experienced that while watching Jerry Maguire.
Very briefly, because it's a podcast in itself and it's an NFL podcast as well. There is a list of the best players all the way down to the worst players, and then the worst clubs all the way down to the top clubs, and the worst clubs get to choose first, second, third, the best clubs, the best players from the top of the list.
And the players have got no... These players are unsigned.
That's in its very, very simple form. Yeah, they're straight from college.
Yeah.
So they're out, so they're ready for that. So that's how it works. So in the very, very straightforward terms, that is how it works. But it's essentially it's players moving to clubs. So to an extent, I guess transfer deadline day is a little bit like that. Only they only in the draft they all get together in a big auditorium and they do it all there.
Mm.
Whereas and there is a degree even up to the 11th hour, there's a degree of horse trading going on for swapping tokens for drafts and picks and stuff like that. So you know the Redskins will say, oh, we want there's a second pick, we'll give you four picks further on down if you'll give us your second pick, blah blah blah, stuff like that, and all that stuff goes on. I think that there's quite a lot of intrigue in that, but that's probably more fun than transfer deadline day.
It sounds quite organised, doesn't it, compared to transfer deadline day, which is just chaotic.
I suppose it's
more like sort of X Factor compared to transfer deadline day, which is basically swap shop.
It is.
Well, but I mean, also
swap shop at the market out of EastEnders. What is that market called? I'm
quite glad I don't know.
I don't know.
Albert Square Market?
I think there's actually isn't it a lane off the square? Anyway, but the point is that it's a crap analogy. I will take
it. It's an analogy. Good enough.
It is. But it just seems a little chaotic. It's disjointed, and it's all over the place. And
the great thing is that transfer deadline day has taken up the whole day of broadcasting on Sky Sports News. And I know because I've watched quite a lot of it today. Even though
how was that for you?
It's been quite grueling actually, because it's basically been cutting to the Emirates every sort of like quarter of an hour for the guy there to say, yes, we're expecting the deal to be done sooner rather than later, and he's been saying that every 20 minutes for the past 9 hours.
I mean, you suspect that the Ozil deal, and we are talking about Mesut Ozil's move to Arsenal, is probably actually done. It's just that no one's actually bothered to tell the media.
Yes, from all accounts that I've read on Twitter, a perfectly valid news source, that seems to be the consensus there. So it's and you would think that if something was going wrong, then obviously the journalists at Sky would know that.
Of course, because
they are.
You know, where is Mesut Ozil right now? Mesut Ozil is in Munich, of course. And I don't think they've got a Sky journalist standing outside.
They've
got a Sky Deutschland journalist, but they're all talking about the national team because their transfer is finished. So
they did actually have a Sky
I bet they did.
Deutschland guy on there. And it was very good to actually hear someone who's not gone to the British Sky school of hyperbole about the whole thing. He just came on and just very matter-of-factly said, yes, the Bayern doctor is looking in because the Bayern doctor is also the German national team doctor.
Yeah.
And,
which is good enough. So yes. Medical from the Bayern
doctor. And what can you say about anything else? There is nothing else to say.
one of the biggest criticisms that people have of the Bundesliga off the field is that they are incapable. They're not incapable, but they find hyperbole extremely difficult to do. and that's the draw of it. I mean, they say, "Oh, you don't market yourself enough. You don't big yourself up enough." And this is not necessarily a bad thing. But there is something about the English transfer deadline that has this kind of mixture of just nothing mixed with chaos, mixed with lots and lots of excitement.
Mm.
And only the English transfer window seems to be able to generate, only Sky in England can really generate that, really turn it into an event. Whereas I get the impression, certainly in Germany, and I would imagine elsewhere in Europe, it's not regarded as a no big deal, but it's certainly not seen as being quite a no reason for having a massive sort of like 24-hour television event, which it's now become.
Well, I think outside of Isleworth, though, is it really? I mean, and obviously, anyone who watches Sky Sports News as well, including us around this table, I mean, it really isn't that big a deal. But you know, obviously, this is Sky Sports News year-long flagship program, isn't it? This is their like Harry Potter on Christmas Day, isn't it?
I mean, they only have it twice a year as well because of they have the winter transfer as well. But I mean, it shouldn't be lost on any of us that the biggest purpose on transfer deadline day, as far as Sky are concerned, is to fill schedule. Particularly right now, because all the players have gone off to the international breaks, the ones that aren't hanging by the phone waiting for their agent to call, or aren't you know driving around in Belgian number plated cars somewhere around the northwest hoping for a call from David Moyes, or indeed people driving down to Loftus Road and stand hanging out in the car park waiting to be signed.
He's on his way to Cardiff.
He's gone to Cardiff.
Are they expecting him?
He's literally whether they're expecting him or not is another matter.
Banging on the kids.
What's that noise?
Somebody love me.
I've got this idea.
Who's done it this time of night?
Banging on the kids. Vincent Tang comes out with his dressing gown and his going, who's that? What do you want? I mean, go away.
Or even worse, he just rocks up to Ninian Park.
Oh, no, it would be or the Millennium Stadium. Gets confronted by a large rugby player and told in no uncertain terms that he's come to the wrong place. Yes, indeed. Oh, great stories from transfer windows gone by. But we did have this brouhaha back in the day, of course, because there used to be the transfer when there used to be a transfer deadline in April. If you recall.
March, wasn't it? But it was,
or whenever it was. But it was X weeks before the end of the season.
It was, yeah.
And you would have your that would be your deadline day. And so you'd still get a degree of excitement. But of course, we didn't have your 24-hour rolling news and we barely had the internet. And if there was an internet, hardly anyone was on it.
Well, certainly not for football, anyway.
Not for football, no. But I do remember there being a degree of excitement. I mean, I used to be quite excited about picking up a copy of the Evening Standard. Mm. And seeing which players Palace hadn't bought.
But then also as well is that because you could buy and sell players at any time, players would all of a sudden, oh, look, we've made a signing. Where'd that come from?
Yeah. So who do we like in the transfer market? What were we pleased to? Were you intrigued by?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's only one news as far as I'm concerned. That's Ozil to
Ozil
from Real to Arsenal.
Yeah, that's
Paperwork pending.
Yeah, paperwork pending. But yeah, if we assume that it's actually happened, well, we can only assume that it will happen. I mean, it's been suggested that he's not what Arsenal need. But I would suggest to you that any football club could do with Mesut Ozil. And so I don't think, I mean, maybe they could have prioritised in other areas, but it's Mesut Ozil, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, do you think as well that, I mean, I know there's only a little bit of time left, but there could be other deals in the pipeline that we haven't heard of, and if they bring in someone like him, it might be enough just to turn someone's attention to actually joining Arsenal. You know, he's a flagship signing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's certainly an interesting contrast to a couple of weeks ago when Arsenal lost their first game of the season and weren't signing any players. And now they are fourth in the table, qualified for the Champions League, and they're just about to sign Mesut Ozil.
£40 million.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know, and I suspect that deal was probably, and this is not an ITK thing, but I don't think you need to be a genius to work out that once the Bale deal went through, order to recoup the costs, then they were going to have to let someone go, and it sounded like it was going to be Ozil. Ozil was spending a lot of time saying how he's not going over the last couple of weeks, and that he won't be leaving, and he's happy at Madrid. Which, to the point where you did wonder whether or not, in fact, what was happening was that he was going. And so I don't know to what extent
that's just going to drive up his
it could
his,
be
his fee, isn't it, I suppose.
Oh, it could be that it could be that he's genuinely happy and he'll be quite sorry to go. So there may be a slight motivation issue when he arrives in North London, but I mean he's a top pro and you know, he'll give you everything, and he'll be an absolutely brilliant signing for Arsenal, as he would be for anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Good,
you like?
Good to see him in the Premier League.
Of course, the Bale deal was sealed, wasn't it? Last night. So everyone knew about that anyway. But at least we now know what ridiculous sum of money was involved now, and so I think it's kind of turns out to be 86.5. But obviously, once you add on his 300 grand a week contract as well,
that's unbelievable.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah, but there you go. That's the way the money goes.
Yes, it is. Yes, as you said earlier, off air, it's not like it's my money.
No, indeed, it's not our money. So
no, exactly. That's it's the money of people who are considerably richer than we are, and it's theirs to do whatever they damn well please.
And it's notional anyway, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't really exist.
Well, yeah, there is an argument to say that it's not actually real money anyway.
it doesn't exist.
Yes, no, quite so. I mean, people have frittered away considerably larger sums of money at our expense in the past, and don't get nearly as much attention put on them as people as football club owners. So. You know, I don't know how it sits to be too sort of judgmental and I don't know about this, about money that's being paid.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Transformers: Dark of the Moon actually cost more to make than Gareth Bale cost to sign.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I will tell you right now that whatever Transformers Dark of the Moon cost, it Bale's money is of far greater value than Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Have you seen Transformers Dark of the Moon?
I will be honest and say that I haven't. But I have seen Transformers.
You're putting yourself out there a bit, aren't you?
It's a bold statement, but on the basis of Transformers, I'm going to say that Transformers Dark of the Moon was probably an unnecessary movie. You could have bought 3 Gareth Bales with that film.
Probably.
There's a tumbler for you.
What about you, Jan? Have you noticed anything in the transfer and the whole of the transfer window that?
Well, as anyone knows who listens to this, I'm fairly Sunderland centric, Stefan Sessegnon, who I think is our finest player and probably the finest player that's played for Sunderland in my lifetime. He is apparently going to West Bromwich Albion.
Yes.
Because, and there's no doubt he's the most talented player at the club. He's being sent away because of Mr. De Canio's iron fist won't take the fact that one of his players was arrested for being over the limits. Which is not to be condoned, of course. But he's almost cutting his nose off to spite his face, so I'm not very happy about that.
Well, he is one for law and order, is Paolo. He does like authority.
He does.
I just got a text from the missus, and we obviously must have missed it, but apparently there was a reporter at Selhurst Park on Sky Sports.
Yeah, I saw him. He didn't have any people.
You should have said something.
He didn't have any people behind him.
Was he?
Probably be cornered off.
Was that the Sainsbury's car park you were in? It is a Sainsbury's.
It is a Sainsbury's car park, yes, because it's famously
wrong one,
backs onto Sainsbury's. No, they cordoned people.
It was at the training ground, actually.
Oh, was it? Ah, well, no one knows where that is, so no one was there. So that's all right. But that would suggest maybe there's a bit of late business to be done.
Two phones is on at the moment.
Yeah, well, we don't
stop. With 1 hour and 26 left to go. Yeah. They've given him his own little place off there. He's not even on the end of the desk anymore.
He moved further and further, moved off the set.
Yeah,
one day he'll turn up for deadline day, and he'll just be told, "That's a park bench. You sit there."
I'm just wondering whether that is an iPad that's very, very close to the camera, or it's a normal size iPad, and he's very, very small.
I
don't know.
I'll go for the latter.
Yeah, it's got to be the latter.
Apparently, according to the news ticker, Arsenal are close to signing Mesut Ozil.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think we're going to get him in the next 10 minutes?
I don't think so. That is his...
Deal's close.
Another guy with an even bigger iPad now.
He has a massive iPad.
He's even smaller.
Or it is. Watch.
No, come on. That's not... That's just somebody at the back. It's like those Star Trek doors. Two guys like...
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
There were two guys at the...
Come on, yeah.
You're shattering the illusion.
The original series Star Trek had two guys who would just open and close the doors.
Well, how come the noise was always the same?
They put that on afterwards.
They put it on afterwards. It's just the same as on Sky Sports News. That's all being coordinated. There's no way that's
just a fellow with loads of coloured in cardboard
sliding in bits of cards. Yeah. Bloody hell. God, well, you must have a busy day.
Quick, where's the Norwich City badge? You can't find it. Someone draw me a canary, quickly.
It's all done by shadow puppets.
They must really hate that.
That would be good.
Now, Transfer Deadline Day puppet theatre. Now, that would be better.
That would be good.
Why send out everyone to go there? Well, there you go. Listeners, next year, that's what you can expect.
Yeah, certainly from this podcast, that's what we'll be doing. we will be holding a pop-up theatre deadline day at Whiteleaf, at the Social Club, I think.
At the Social Club.
Come all.
One of us should have been down there just to keep it in the spirit.
Well, I'm quite pleased that Victor Moses has moved on from Chelsea. This isn't just because I don't like Chelsea, but it is because...
You're very dignified with that, though, because I've never noticed your dislike of Chelsea.
I'm very careful not to mention that I don't like Chelsea. Yeah. I'm very careful. And there have been many occasions in this podcast when I have not mentioned that I don't like Chelsea.
Mm.
But I do like Victor Moses.
Well, don't you?
And I think he's a fine player, and I'm delighted to see that he's going to Liverpool, who appear to be a squad of players that are going to do something interesting this season.
Yes.
So, yeah,
we can all be agreed that that's going to happen, and that's good because you know
it is interesting. I mean, obviously they brought a lot of people in, especially today. I think they brought four players in today.
Yeah.
And of course, you've got to look at Tottenham as well, who have brought in seven players. And I know a lot was made. At the weekend when Arsenal but obviously I don't think so. I think Arsenal we played Tottenham at the right time. If you're going to play a team that's brought seven new players in, play them in like the third or fourth week of the season. You'll do a lot better against them. But they've got some quality players there. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with as well. But I think it's always a thing at the beginning of the season to say, oh yeah, Liverpool turned a corner. No, this time, yeah, Brendan Rodgers, he's got his feet under the table there now. You know, he's survived that first season, and now he can concentrate on turning Liverpool's fortunes around. It just does seem to happen every year, doesn't it? Really, that people build up.
I think it's different this year because I think they have had a very good start this year.
They have, yes.
100%, and they have beat Manchester United. Maybe you could argue, man, you were there for the taking, but that isn't too different from the team that won the championship last season. And you know, the Premier League hasn't moved on so much in quality, so that's a mighty result. Yeah. So early in the season. And what will be interesting to see is whether or not they can actually, is anybody apart from Daniel Sturridge can score. And what will, they will inevitably concede a goal and need to, score two. So, we'll see a little bit more about from there. But they've made some ambitious signings. And that chap from PSG was £18 million. So, it's quite a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly for a non-Champions League club, so... Does suggest that they're serious. So
the Moses deal is a loan deal as well.
It is a loan deal, yeah, absolutely. And hopefully, what will happen is that he'll either stay permanently there or he'll come back and find his way back to Crystal Palace once we've survived in the Premier League. Which this week, I am now confident that we will do.
Well, yes.
Next week, who knows?
Yes,
next week, listeners, to see how confident I am that Palace will start.
We have to say that, listeners, we had a bit of a day on Saturday, didn't we? We started off with some FA Cup action. We went over to Croydon Arena. to see Croydon FC play the Mighty Leaf in the preliminary round of the FA Cup, to see Whiteleaf make it to the qualifying rounds of the FA Cup for the first time in 5 years.
That's not bad, is it?
Yes. So
first qualifying round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Where they're going to play Hawley, who play at the similar level. So it's,
it's got every
opportunity to get to the to the second qualifying round, and it was a lovely sunny day out.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, Croydon Arena never really fills you with a lot of hope when you go and watch a game there, does it?
Well, my last experience of Croydon Arena wasn't too pleasant, but this time around, albeit obviously it was a balmy August afternoon, it was a beautiful day, and it enhanced massively that when we went back to the clubhouse for half-time drinkies, we discovered that there was a balcony from the bar overlooking the pitch.
So we could
from behind the goal
the Whiteleaf were kicking towards.
So we stood there drinking bottled lager
in the sun
getting pretty rapidly pissed and watching Whiteleaf win the game.
Yes,
and it was awesome.
And then it was just a 25 minute brisk walk
to Selhurst Park.
Selhurst Park, yeah.
And anyway, we can skip on. We'll move on with that.
Which was either a brilliant result or a terrible result, depending entirely upon where you're sat around this table.
Yes.
In my Ferrari sitting, it was fantastic. But yeah, so yeah, a good day was had, and apart from Yang, who had a miserable time.
Yes, it was. Well, the first half of the day was wonderful. Mm. The second half of the day was shit.
But then we went down
But then we went down the pub, and then it got a lot better.
And everything was fine.
Yeah, and then we had even more to drink. Yeah. Actually, we did have quite a lot to drink.
There was a lot of drinking going on.
Listeners, drink responsibly.
Yes. Yeah.
Not like what we did.
No, not like what we did at all. I'm looking back at the screen again now. I'm trying to see if anything else has happened. But considering that they've just had a telephone interview with Mo Farah, now they've got some guy in a suit on who I don't know who
he is. You do miss Harry Redknapp in situations like this, because as far as I'm aware, he's not been interviewed through his car window.
Yes,
so
I think
QPR have been very, very, very quiet on the transfer deadline.
Well, they're getting Tom Carroll in. In fairness, he was on Radio 5 Live when I was driving over here, and he was talking about how Tom Carroll was a terrific player and that he was hoping to sign him, you know, pretty soon, hoping that will get over the line, you know, in the next hour or so.
And was he hanging out of his car at the time?
I sincerely hope not, because obviously, you know, talking on the radio at a while driving, listeners, as you all know, is very, very dangerous. And whatever you do not conduct radio interviews while driving.
No.
I certainly never do.
Not even hands-free?
Especially not hands-free, because that's when you're most vulnerable.
Really?
Yeah, because you think that you're in control, but in fact you're not.
Well, a bit of safety advice for our listeners there. Yeah.
Now, on the news ticker, it does say that Peter Ondemwingie has joined Cardiff.
Right.
It doesn't say Cardiff City. maybe that's just a bit of an oversight.
But is there a bypass at Cardiff? Maybe he's joined that.
Maybe he's just become at one. He's joined Cardiff. Yeah, I'm just seeing through now that Arsenal end interest in Chelsea striker Demba Ba.
Okay.
That was news about 2 hours ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's
and this is all news to the listeners who are listening to this tomorrow morning and know this already. So
yeah.
I'm not quite sure how much more about
it. I like this. The deal about Athletic Bilbao's and Hiera hits bureaucratic problems.
Mm. No doubt to be blamed on the Spanish and their complex transfer system. I've heard that. That's a good cliche that you always hear.
As Fergie would say.
Foreign transfer system.
Foreigners with their funny foreign ways.
Foreign ways. Yeah. Yeah.
God, like, have they never even heard of faxes?
apparently, could you believe it? But the person in charge of Atlético Madrid has gone home for the day. I mean, do they not realise that we're on air 24 hours a day?
And he took 2 hours at lunch.
Well, we're rapidly getting to close to the end of this podcast, and half an hour has melted away, and still Mesut Ozil
has not signed for Arsenal.
Has anyone actually signed in the half an hour?
Oh, no, there is some breaking news. Shall we turn it up? We're going to have some bit on the background.
We'll be right back. contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, at Sound of Football, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Who? I didn't hear who it was he signed.
Oh, well, we'll never know.
I can't believe we've got a picture of Big Ben signifying the amount of time left.
You wait, at 11 o'clock, all hell breaks loose. They have bloody like fireworks and things.
Yeah, we sing All Our Old Lang Syne.
Yeah, it is.
It's well, like, I want to look at Palace aside, never mind that.
I think someone left Sellers Park. Welcome again to Sound of Football Top Trumps. So, Terry, 2 weeks in, two wins. Got to be happy with that.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, we're not under any illusions. You know, we'll just take each hand as it comes. And, you know, hopefully this time round we'll be in for another 3 cards.
Yep, it certainly is hotting up. And all the other players will be tugging at their collars looking for that first win.
Jan's giving me the eyes.
Is he?
He's giving me the eye. He's giving me the eye. You realise this is a card game, not a penalty shootout. He's not stopping him. He's giving me the eyes. He's hoping that what I'll do is I'll pick.
I don't like losing. I've really got a problem with losing.
Oh dear. Well then, I'm afraid, Chief.
Oh,
you may be disappointed again.
Listeners may want to know that we're using the European Football Stars deck of Top Trumps. Statistics are valid up to the 30th of March, 2012.
Okay. Shall I proceed?
Proceed.
Very well then. Well, I'm going to have to go, as I did last week, with career goals. Which is 243. It's Klaas-Jan Huntelaar. Will Jan be able to beat Jan Huntelaar?
He slightly eclipsed my career goals.
By how many?
Hundreds. Probably about 200.
Oops, sorry.
But maybe that will change when he joins Arsenal.
It's Mesut Özil!
No, how's Mesut that? Özil.
Let me put down my card there so, you know, all is well.
Ben,
what do you reckon?
I have only 106 for Iron Robin.
106 for Iron Robin. And what do the listeners have?
The listeners have... Oh, now you had 243.
I had 243, I don't still have. Career goals. Right there.
Yes. David Villa, though,
no.
Has career goals of 252.
Oh! The listeners win!
Listeners have won!
Right.
Well done, listeners.
Yeah, hello. Excellent. Alright, well, no, it's not, that's crap. But anyway, here you go, listeners. Here's your cards. Well done.
Join us again next week for more Sound of Football Top Trumps.